And on the line I have spokesperson James Connolly Heron. Good afternoon to you, James.
Noel, how are you?
Okay, now we're going to talk about the objections to the Hammerson plans. I thought things had been sorted out down there about all of Moor Street and the preserved buildings.
That you were right about that. No, unfortunately not. Well, over the last year, 2 years or so, we've had the Minister's Moor Street Advisory Group meetings, and out of that was supposed to have come an agreed planning application, but unfortunately that didn't happen. So we're at the stage now where Hammerson, the latest developers, have submitted three planning applications for Moor Street, and objections have gone in naturally to their plans.
So is this someone reneging on their word, James?
No, I wouldn't say that, but certainly the approach seems to have changed. We were told at the minister's table that Hammerson, through Hammerson presentations, that the application would be in three phases, Henry Street side, Moor Street side, and then O'Connell Street. But O'Connell Street seems to have disappeared from their application, and we're only dealing now with three applications for Moor Street, effectively.
Okay, so in the recess of my mind there, I remember seeing something about a huge development which had to do with the going back into that area, but from the Carlton Cinema. Is this part, was that part of it?
Yeah, the original plan, which was what's referred to as the Chartered Land Application, was for the infamous Park in the Sky plan, which, yes, would have included the Carlton as a sort of an entrance, was the Carlton Cinema. The facade of the cinema being used as an entrance into a huge shopping mall development. Fortunately, that's been shelved, and the latest plans are certainly an improvement on that.
Okay. So how much of a development will it be now, and how much would it impair?
Well, shops and office-style development it's going to be, ultimately. But we don't know. One of the problems is that since there's no application for O'Connell Street, we don't really know what the context is in terms of the three applications that have gone in, because there's no application for the O'Connell Street side of the site. So we're only dealing with these applications with Moor Street itself, and the plans for Moor Street are not as we would wish them to be. You know, there's going to be an interference with the line of the terrace, an interference with the streets and laneways that the volunteers escaped into from the GPO in 1916. So the geography of the area is going to be interfered with, so we'd have problems about that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, some of the parts, I don't get into the city much, but some places when I'm passing by, I'm going, what's going on with the city at all? I mean, when I come across...
Well, I mean, this site has been, you know, effectively deteriorating and decaying over years past, you know. I mean, if it wasn't for the campaign highlighting it, I don't know what would have happened, you know. I mean, its present state is fairly poor, you know, and there seems to be a paralysis surrounding it, and there shouldn't be, really, because the city council have ownership of properties in the area. The state purchased 14-17 as a national monument, and yet nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm particularly in my mind, for instance, I've been sort of giving out about it and raving about it over a while there, when I pass over the bridge there at the Customs House heading towards City Quay, and I see the symmetry of the buildings and height of them, and just buried now it is. City Quay Church is just buried there now, and I'm going,
the danger of becoming a high-rise city,
How did that happen?
If developers had their way, that would be the approach they'd take, you know. I think personally that there should be a preservation order on Old Dublin and should be left alone. And if you wish to develop a new Dublin, develop it elsewhere, you know.
Yeah, who does that, though? I mean, who would say, like, well, okay, to do that to a beautiful old church and bury it?
The city authorities should enforce the planning laws. Yes, you know, that's for a start, you know. I mean, listed buildings, the listing of buildings is very important, you know.
Yeah.
So there should be an overview of Old Dublin, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there should be a listing process to ensure that we don't lose whatever's left.
Mm. So people should have a forewarning and a whole idea of what's going to be happening, no matter where it may be, especially in the city, so they can look it up and before spade is lifted, to be able to say,
public,
well, I don't like that.
Public participation is the key to you know, and gradually over years past, the public participation element of planning has been disappearing because it's so costly now to object to plans, you know. Mm. I mean, in our case, it because there are three applications in, it means if you wish to object to the Hammerson plans for Moore Street, for instance, it would cost you, it's the cost of three applications, that's €60, three objections. And if you wish to appeal that, it'll be €220 per appeal. So that's, you know, that's a lot of money for individual citizens.
Objections,
you know?
Yeah.
The heartbeat of planning should be naturally, or the heartbeat of a city should be that the citizens have a say.
Indeed. Maybe that's where some of the powers will be given to the new Lord Mayors when they come in, to an extent. That's what they've been looking for.
Well, that's the old argument, yeah, that you have a Lord Mayor who has power rather than just, figurehead Lord Mayor, yeah. That might improve things, depending on who the Lord Mayor would be.
Of course, yeah. Well, I mean, you'd have one place to go to, and it wouldn't cost you just to go up and submit something to a Lord Mayor rather than go through all the red tape that you have to go
for
now.
It, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, how much you're talking about this, submissions you have to make, how much red tape is involved in it, James?
Well, you need a certain amount of expertise and technical backup, you know, to make objections. I mean, you can just write in and object to any development you like in the city, but I mean, you have to make a case, you know. I mean, obviously, the stronger the case, the more chance the planners might listen to you, whereas if you just object as the citizens, then not very little heed will be paid to you. I mean, that's how we lost Wood Quay. You're probably too young to remember Wood Quay. 30,000 people marched to... 30,000 people marched to save it and still wasn't saved, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's where people feel frustrated. They sort of look around now, like me, even that remember and say, what's the point?
There's a helplessness. I mean, the great success of the Moore Street campaign is we've lasted the length of time we have, over 20 years now, and we have saved the area. I mean, Moore Street's still standing, which is a fantastic achievement because it could have gone the way of Wood Quay very easily.
Mm-hmm.
In 1999, if you want to go back that far, city officials were of the view that it was of limited historical importance. I mean, this is the last headquarters of the provisional government in 1916 we're talking about. The last great battle of 1916 was fought in the streets and laneways around Moore Street. The notion that it could be levelled to make way for any sort of retail development is, well, it's insulting for a start to the volunteers in 1916, but it makes absolutely no sense in terms of, you know, tourist potential in the city.
I was just going to say that, as far as the tourists are concerned, it's part of tours that are part of the city itself.
Yeah. Tourists
as well.
Tourists don't come to Dublin to see steel and glass. They see that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you create a quarter, an historic cultural quarter, I mean, it's a gold mine waiting to happen with the right approach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been asking for state we must be the only campaign certainly in Dublin's history that are actually asking the state to do something rather than opposing what the state are doing. We're asking for state intervention. We're asking for Minister Darragh O'Brien to become personally involved in this and ensure that the area is developed in the right way.
And have you got been negative reaction so far? Is that what's happening?
No, I mean, in general terms, everybody wants to see the area developed. It's how it's to be developed is the issue. And our position is that it's such an historic area that you don't meddle with it in terms of the geography of the streets. Because if you want to tell the great story of the evacuation of the volunteers into those streets and laneways, it's much better to be doing it on the very streets and laneways where the events took place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the difference between reading history from a book and actually standing where history was made. So you have this incredible opportunity where you can stand in the Jeep. Well, first of all, you can start at 2021 Henry Street where the proclamation was signed,
mm-hmm.
go from there to the GPO, which was held at the headquarters in 1916, and then cross the street into the lanes of history, as Enda Kenny famously described them, and you're in the very place where the last great battle of 1916 took place.
So is there a way, I know this may sound a bit queer, but is there a way that they could preserve the few places that you're talking about and sort of build monstrosities around them, like what happened with City Key Church, that you could say?
Well, we prefer no monstrosities, but they can certainly, from a developer's point of view, they could develop the O'Connell Street side of the site, which goes from O'Connell Street all the way back to Moore Lane, say. Mm. And that's a sizable, you know, site to develop a retail or office-style development or whatever. But you leave the block, as we call it, the 1916 block, which is the terrace that's left, that survived the bombing in 1916. It's the last surviving terrace of buildings from the events of the rising. you preserve that block, the terrace and the gardens or yards to the rear, and you develop the area as an historic cultural quarter and you leave it be. You don't interfere with it so that you can tell the story of the evacuation in the very place where the evacuation took place.
Okay. And would you be happy with that then if they developed around the sites that you want preserved?
Well, yeah. I mean, the starting point is that you recognise the importance of the area. It was described by the National Museum of Ireland as the most historic, most important historic site in modern Irish history. If that's your starting point, you develop it in according to that status. And then you move forward with a plan that everybody can be happy with.
Okay. So where do we stand now, James? What's the next step for you? Do you have the microphone there now?
Well, three applications have gone in. Objections have gone in. I'm not too sure that some total objections. I think there are almost 100 objections in for the Moore Street Terrace alone. There's the Henry Street application, then there's the O'Reilly Parade application. I'm not certain what the numbers are in relation to objections to that. Mm-hmm. So we'll wait and see what the planners come up with, Noel. We hope the planners will listen to the objections that we've made and our observations, and we would be asking them not to consent to these particular applications. They may ask for revisions to the plan. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. And do you have a group that people could join? A website?
Well, the Moore Street Preservation Trust is the vehicle for the alternative plan. We have an alternative approach and an alternative plan to the developers, one that keeps the terrace intact and the streets and laneways. And you'll find that under the Moore Street Preservation Trust website, and all the details are there.
Thank you very much, James. Great pleasure. I hope you're successful. I really, really do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's James Connolly-Heron there talking about the Moore Street Preservations.